Hi guys, I want to welcome you. I'm super, super excited to have this superstar here today, Dr. Irena Smith. So I'm going to let her introduce herself, but welcome to College Admissions Unplugged. And this is where we bring in the experts. We're talking about college admissions. We're going to focus on essays today and how you can work with your clients on how to collaborate and how to make that relationship really work for the benefit of your students. And so without further ado, I'm going to let Irena introduce herself.
Ashley, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. I will try to keep my intro brief since you and I spoke about that it's a fairly long story before we started recording. So the highlights are I emigrated here with my parents from the Soviet Union when I was nine. And in spite of swearing that I would never, ever learn English, I ended up getting a doctorate in comparative literature, teaching for a little bit, then working in college admissions at Stanford, and currently working as an independent college counselor in Palo Alto for my 17th year. And I've also recently written a book called The Golden Ticket, A Life in College Admissions Essays, that talks about all of this in more detail.
That is perfect. And guys, we are going to, so those that are watching and listening, we are going to get into the book, The Golden Ticket. And I'm going to let Irena, towards the end, we're going to share where you can get it at, because you have to get this book. I've been enjoying what I've been reading so far. So we're going to get into that. But actually, Irena, I'd like to start off with this question is, and I know you shared briefly about your journey, but what got you specifically into working in college admissions with your students?
Well, so it was partly life necessity and partly because I found the field really interesting. The life necessity was I happened to be teaching in a program at Stanford that teaches composition and humanities to freshman students with another lecturer who was a senior admissions director at the Office of Undergraduate Admissions while also teaching. And we used to all make fun of him whenever we had students who we were like, what are you doing, John, admitting these people? It was mostly good-natured fun, but he took it very personally. And he believed very strongly, I think with good reason, that people who taught at Stanford should also get to know what the admissions process is like. So that was the curiosity part. The life necessity part was I had small children at the time who were in daycare, and they were getting constant ear infections because they were around other kids, and I could do college admissions reading from home where my children could get ear infections for free. So I ended up switching over to what ended up being both a more flexible and an extraordinarily interesting job.
I like that. And you know, too, and I know we're going to get into it, but also your own journey, because since you have more than one degree, you know, your experience going through that process yourself. So you know what it takes. And can you let us know, where did you get your doctorate degree? What university?
I got it at UCLA, where I was also an undergraduate. And I actually really wanted to go outside of California for graduate school, but it also happened in a spectacular bit of poor planning that my husband and I were planning to get engaged, or I can't even remember, might have already been engaged, and he was applying to medical school and I was applying to graduate school. And it didn't occur to either of us to like coordinate that in any kind of way. So we both ended up getting into UCLA, for him for medical school, me for graduate school, with scholarships. And so financially it made sense. And you know, from having a family point of view, it made sense. And so I ended up at UCLA for 8 years.
Awesome. Well, you know, I'm glad that story worked out how it did.
Yes, it worked out really well.
I'm really glad. So I kind of want to transition and talk about this collaboration piece. So between consultants like yourself and their clients, especially when it comes to the essay, because, you know, we have, you know, you have students on one end of the spectrum to the other, right? Some really love it and embrace it, and some, of course, are hesitant. But how does that working together, that relationship, how does that contribute to really creating an effective college admissions essay?
So I think that the essay in particular is so deeply personal that a lot of students, even those who are eager writers, struggle with how much to reveal of themselves on the page or how to tell their story. And I think having an adult who they trust and who is invested in helping them tell their story and who is not going to judge or necessarily make them feel like they're doing something wrong is really essential in that process. And what I often find myself doing, and I would imagine many of my colleagues can relate to this, is mediating between parents and their children, because very often parents want to be involved in the essay writing process. They know their children better than anyone. And while that is objectively true, the closeness of that relationship can make for some pretty significant tension and arguments. And so I think having a person who the student knows is on their side and is interested in learning more about them, if you start from that place that you just want words on the page and then you can help them figure out where is the story, I find that that's what makes the collaboration the most successful.
And, you know, I have to agree, and I'm just thinking back to, like, on your background, is for those families, and I'm going to do a shameless plug right now. Irene didn't ask me to do this, but if you are looking for a consultant in the California, really, you work with anyone anywhere, right? All over the U.S.?
Yeah, so I'm remote, and I'm actually not doing individual college counseling anymore. I'm working with Sierra Admissions, which is based loosely in the Pacific Northwest, but I'm in California. Alex McNeil, who's the director, is in Seattle. There is a former admissions officer from Vanderbilt, Ben Bousquet, who is in Tennessee. We have another associate who is in the Austin area, and another one who's in Portland. And so, yeah, we work with students remotely, but as we have all discovered during the pandemic, Zoom is not a terrible way to get to know people.
Yes. And so, yeah, for those that are, and we're going to get into the book as well, because I encourage everyone on here, all the consultants, if you work at a university and you're watching this, you need to get this book, because what you just said, Irene, was really, really important is, like you said, whether they're eager or not, that mediation piece is so key. And since you're a parent, you know that all too well. You need that other voice to be there. And so if you can kind of lead into the next question is kind of maybe give us one or two kind of specific benefits. I guess you've already mentioned mediation, but maybe what are a few others that really helps that collaborative approach?
So I think oddly and counterintuitively, the fact that the counselor doesn't know the student as well as the parent, in that they are approaching them from a place of curiosity. So there are things that the student may have taken for granted about their life that they now have to explain to someone who has a friendly interest in them, but who doesn't know the background, who doesn't know where, for example, their interest in high school theater came from, or, you know, the many arguments that they have had with their parents about letting them do theater as opposed to working on the science fair project or something else. And so explaining that outside the constraints of, oh, this is what you always do in your family dynamic, or you always say that, or you always criticize me, and giving it kind of a fresh space to share that story, I think really helps students with critical thinking and with sort of thinking through, how do I appear to people who don't know me? What is the story that I would like to tell? And I don't want to say we're therapists, because we're not, but it's a little bit of that same journey of self-discovery, where to write about yourself honestly and well, you have to be willing to think about yourself honestly. And somebody who doesn't know you as well as your family or your peers can actually be really helpful in that.
I like that. And, you know, like, and I'm even thinking too, even when you're working with families, and let's say the parents both went, right? Like you and your husband, right? You both went to college, but even with that, your experiences could be totally different in your perspective from, you know, what your child is going through. So that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. And just to piggyback on that, I think, you know, if you can, and it doesn't have to be a college counselor, because I realize that that could be financially prohibitive or otherwise prohibitive for families, but not being afraid to ask for help was a pretty profound lesson that my husband and I learned, because we both have advanced degrees. And we thought, I think I can see in retrospect, unreasonably, that we had it all figured out, and whatever problems came our way with our own kids, we could just solve them. And I think if I had had a humbler attitude of, there are things here where I'm out of my depth, and let's bring in some people who know what they're doing. You know, again, bygones, you can't really do anything about that. But I think recognizing when something isn't working and being willing to say, hey, we need some help here, is really important.
And that's really good. I'm really glad that you brought that up. And so, speaking of collaborations, and I know you've been in this 17 years plus, can you maybe think back on maybe a particular client or maybe a student that you worked with and where you had to kind of work with them and it worked out for the best?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this the other day, and so it's, you know, kind of a perfect top of mind moment. I had a student many, many years ago who was very anxious, as are many students, about the college admissions process, about writing. And we had met a couple of times her junior year and just talked about some preliminary ideas. And then she vanished. And I sent her a quick email in September saying, hey, you know, do you want to meet and talk about essays? And she didn't answer. And then sometime, I can't remember exactly the timing. All I remember is we had very little time to work with because she was about, I think she had gotten, what had happened was she had gotten deferred from her early decision school. And so she was panicking. And this was like probably mid-December at this point, and thinking that, you know, maybe it was the essay. So she sent me the essay. We hadn't seen each other, mind you, in like 4 or 5 months, and was like, do you think this is good? Do you think I should rewrite it? And I was like, rewrite it. You have like 2.5 weeks before everything is due. And the essay was really well written, but it was not great. It was sort of, it was polished. It was grammatically correct. It didn't really communicate anything about her, apart from what was very clear to me between the lines, which was this desperate need to be like, hey, I'm special. Look at me. I'm not like everybody else. Here's a snippet from me watching Korean dramas with my friends. Here's a snippet of me listening to this kind of music. And, you know, she was really sweet and really smart. And she was trying to portray herself as like cool and edgy and, you know, interested in many different things. And it was coming across really sort of try hard-ish and awkward. And I said to her, you know, there are kind of two different possibilities here. One is I could tell you the essay is okay and you keep applying with it. Knowing you though, I feel like this is not your best work. And would you be willing to scrap it and look at something, you know, and know that you have it as a safety net, but also potentially look at some other things. And what it turned out some of the other things were, was that she had this long and sustained interest in interior decorating. So she had, like, she was carrying paint swatches, like paint chips, on her keychain. And so she was reading like what her brother called mommy magazines. Like, she was reading Better Homes and Gardens. And she was just super interested in what makes a room, what makes a room somebody else's. It ended up aligning with her parents' story because her parents were immigrants. And so they moved to the US and lived in a succession of apartments, each of which she tried to beautify in her own way. So it ended up being this really, first we just had the conversation and I kept asking her questions, but it ended up being this really profound meditation on what home meant, what interiors were, you know, what the inside of a house said about you and why their neighbor's apartments, for example, were so different than their apartment. And it ended up being a gorgeous essay. And she was like, yeah, okay, I can see the difference now. So, and it was a very tight time frame. So I'm particularly fond of that.
And I like that. And, you know, I guess I'm kind of sinking in with the next question in terms of strategies, but I like how you first, you gave her some honest feedback, right? And you didn't just sugarcoat it and say, well, you know, oh, well, and go ahead. But you actually, you know, gave her that real authentic feedback. And then I like how you were able to pull out that, you know, that idea of that interior decorating, that love, that passion that she had. And like you said, it worked out. So that's really good. So speaking of, maybe because that's like two strategies right there, but maybe can you think of another strategy? Let's say that there's a consultant watching and they have a student kind of in that situation. Maybe what's a suggestion or a strategy that you could suggest that they could use when working with their student to help them really solidify and make it a strong essay?
Right. So a couple of strategies. One is I find that it really helps to take a step back and to help students understand that their essay is going to be read in the context of everything else in their application. So there are already bits of story in their application before they even, the college admissions readers even land on the essay. So there's a transcript, which tells a story. There are test scores or lack of test scores, which tell a story. There are counselor and teacher letters of recommendation that tell a story. And there are extracurricular activities, obviously, that tell a story. So an admissions officer will have all that in their mind when they look at the essay. And so to me, the big question when a student is embarking on the essays is, what else do you want them to know about you that is not necessarily in there? That doesn't mean you can't write, for example, about an extracurricular activity, but since you've already listed the extracurricular activity, there might be a story about how you got into it. It might be that you fell into robotics backwards because you had a crush on a boy and he was in robotics and you ended up joining, you know, just to be around him. And then it turned out that you were actually quite capable on your own. Thank you very much. It could be for any number of reasons that the quantifiable things that you do have a story behind how and why you do them. So that's a starting point, is just how do you augment what is already in your application? And then I also just encourage students to think about, what are the kinds of stories about themselves that they always tell other people, not necessarily college admissions officers, because that's terrifying, but like their friends or people that they've just met. What are the stories that their family always tells about them? Oh, you know, so-and-so is always like this. And then to just explore where that comes from. So I think that that strategy of giving them a sense that anything is possible, and that sometimes it's the most mundane things that make the most interesting essays, gives them permission not to feel, because I feel like a lot of students try very hard to, like, I have to come up with this really unusual, interesting, unique topic or idea or experience. And then they beat themselves up because they haven't had an interesting or unique experience. And it's not about that. It's about how you describe what happens to you often in your everyday life.
I love that. One, I just had an aha moment. So when you were sharing about, and I, you know, I'm in college as well, and I was thinking about it when you were speaking, it literally is a story. Like you said, a transcript is telling a story, your activities are telling a story. And like you said, it could be pulling out a story from, or an example from what you've already included in the application, which I think is very, very profound. So thank you for sharing that. But speaking of your second thing you mentioned, about, like you said, you may not have this crazy story, but you can still write, you know, a really strong essay in your book, The Golden Ticket. That's what kind of what I've been getting. I've been reading so far. That's kind of the theme I'm seeing, is that. And so can you just share a little bit from The Golden Ticket for those that maybe they've been living under a rock and don't know what The Golden Ticket is? Kind of give us a little, maybe a bit about what it's about and where we can find it.
Yeah, so it's a memoir, but I've written it in the form of responses to college admissions prompts, essay prompts, which are all real prompts. I totally ignored the word count because some of them are 50 words long and there is no way that I could fit myself into that space. And so huge kudos and respect to students who struggled to do that, because you start with a 300 word essay and you have to winnow it down to, you know, 50 or 150. That's really, really hard. So it's basically about being a memoir about my life, built as a series of responses to the college essay application prompts. College application essay prompts, starting with pretty much my emigration from the former Soviet Union with my parents, learning English, watching a lot of American television, going to college, discovering English and my love of literature, getting married, having three extraordinary and in different ways extraordinarily challenging children, and working as a college admissions counselor to some very, very tightly wound kids, while side by side, my own kids were struggling with a lot of different stuff. And what I learned from that.
Yes. And I love it. And I want to say, Irina, thank you for even sharing your story, because I know for some people, just coming over to a new country, a new culture, just new, along with the challenges that come with that, they may not always want to share that story. So I'm so glad and I'm thankful because, like I said, I've been enjoying it. Guys, you've got to get this. I got mine on Amazon. Is there any other place, Irina, that we can get the golden ticket?
Yeah, if people would rather get it from their independent bookstore, you can either ask them to order it or you can order it through bookshop.org. Or if you don't want to buy it, you can ask your local library to carry it and then they can order it. And you can also learn more on my website, which is irinasmith.com.
I love it. And we're going to kind of end with this. It's like time is flying. I have so enjoyed this conversation, because like you said, it's an issue, because as far as I'm concerned, it's not like you can go to high school and sign up for a college admissions writing class.
Exactly.
Or and storytelling.
Right. And there should be. I think that is such an important skill.
I agree. And then too, you know, because I know you being a professor, it's like, you know, yes, you're there to teach and empower and educate. But when you've got so many students, like I'm thinking high school and middle school teachers, their class load, right, and college as well, it's a lot. You can't work with each individual student, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So I kind of want to end with, maybe it's controversial, maybe it's not, but in terms of boundaries, right? With being honest, being authentic in the college admissions essay, how would you advise consultants on how to work with their students that maybe want to discuss, I call them hot topics, like politics, religion, race, culture, different things like that? How do you do that successfully?
So I think that I learned a very valuable thing when I was reading at Stanford, and we talked about reader bias and sort of identifying what each of us brought to the table when we were reading applications. So what were our conscious or unconscious assumptions that we made about applicants? And so we unpacked some of the cultural assumptions that people might bring, or racial assumptions. And for many people, religion was actually a trigger, because students who were very vocal about being religious, you know, people didn't always know what to do with that. And I don't know that it's an official policy, but the advice that I received that was very useful to me was, if a student is proselytizing, if the essay is like, you all have to believe in this or else you're going to hell or whatever terrible consequences, then that was not a great fit, just because this is not a student who is going to be a productive or constructive member of a discussion. They will just have their thing and, you know, try to convince everybody of how right they are. On the other hand, if somebody writes about religion or politics or race as their own experience, rather than telling other people what to think, that's totally valid. And I learned an enormous amount actually from working with students who had different religious beliefs or convictions than I did, from their willingness to just be honest about their own experience and why they believe what they believe and how it changed them or how it affects their moving through the world. And I think honestly, some of the most powerful essays that I've read were about those hot topics, because often they were about students learning something or changing or interacting with someone in a way that broadened their worldview. So I would say anything is on the table, as long as you're inviting people in rather than projecting out.
That's a perfect, that is so well said. Because, you know, before I've heard just different college admissions experts say, oh, stay away, and you don't want to, you know, lose your chance to get into Harvard. And, you know, especially these, like, you know, very competitive universities. But I'm so glad to hear you saying that it is possible, but it's the method. It's how the student needs to go about expressing,
exactly,
their opinion.
And if Harvard doesn't like that, it's Harvard's loss. But funny that you mentioned that, because I had a student who wrote his first draft of a Harvard essay explicitly calling out admissions officers and saying, I know you're not going to admit me because I'm Asian. And this really kind of like combative in your face thing. And I was like, okay, well, you're kind of assuming that you actually don't know who's reading your application. It could be an Asian admissions officer, as a matter of fact. You know nothing about your readers. All you know is about your experience. So write about where that fear comes from. If you are worried that Harvard or something else recently in your life is not going to admit you because you're Asian, say more about that. And he ended up actually having some very, very interesting insights into his not particularly assimilated Asian parents and how he was embarrassed and how he was trying to be not like them. And that's a very different essay than just saying, you know, hey, I'm Asian, I'm going to be confrontational and call you out before you don't admit me or do admit me. And it's like, that's not a way to have a conversation with someone. And these essays really are a sort of conversation.
And I thank you for sharing that, because I'm so glad, because what that also, I think is good as well, is that since they are getting ready to start their undergraduate and graduate years, it's helping them to learn how to express ideas, critical thinking, and skills that they'll need to be successful in college. And then of course, you know, life after in their careers and just communicating with people.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is really good. I have enjoyed this. I'm gonna let you take us out of here. Give us one. So we've got consultants they're watching, right? Those that are kind of doing what you're doing. They've been having these kind of challenges. What's kind of the big takeaway, the big lesson that you would say for them in terms of how to really collaborate effectively with their students when writing these essays?
I think keep an open mind and listen, because often having ideas about what a student should write, which I think all of us have had, like, oh, it would be good to take this on. Listen to what they're actually telling you, because there's usually a moment when I talk to a student when they, you know, sort of sit up straighter and their eyes start mm-hmm. to shine and they're like, okay, this thing. And usually that's how I know that this thing is what they need to write about. And it might not be the mm-hmm. thing that I thought, but it's definitely the thing that I can ask questions about and draw further, and also be flexible, because that thing may not work. And then you'll need to be able to be like, okay, we're going to try something else. But just, I think being flexible and open and listening are probably the three most valuable pieces of advice I can give anyone.
I love it. And Irina, thank you so much. Share for us one more time where we can get your book, your website, and where we can connect with you online.
Okay, so I am on my website, irenasmith.com, IrenaSmith. The book is also obtainable on Amazon at bookshop.org and at your indie bookstore or library. And online, I am on Twitter and Facebook. I have a Facebook author page. If you look up Irena Smith author, it will come up.
Awesome. And gosh, she's on LinkedIn, because that's how I found her.
I am on LinkedIn also.
So you can connect with her as well. Irena, I've enjoyed this. And by the way, for those that are listening and watching, I'm going to have all the links so you can get to her website, repurchase her book, maybe reach out, have further conversation and dialogue. But Irena, thank you so much. I've enjoyed this.
Ashley, I have too. This was great.
Yes. Thank you. And I look forward to what you're going to do in the future so we can follow you on your journey.
Sounds great. All right. Take care. Thank you so much.
Take care. You're welcome. Okay.